Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, December 5th, 2015, or 2017. I want to go back in time. Can we do that? Welcome to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Got a great show lining up for you tonight. Of course, Hour 3, Stan Deo. Hour 2, a debut guest, Jack Morpheus. In the first hour, news, information, analysis. Things that you need to know, I think. Things that are very important. Of course, Joe and I were on the Kate Daly Show, a Fox syndicated radio program today from 3 to 4. If you have a chance, follow Kate Daly. That's on Twitter. That's her name, Kate Daly. And Kate on the Blaze, I believe it is her Twitter handle. Follow her and just kind of tell her how much you appreciate her. I mean, she is a strong, independent, conservative female voice out there speaking the truth. Her program is extremely it's critical, I believe. She interviewed Sybil Edmonds yesterday. We have to get Sybil on the program. Just a tremendous truth teller, Kate Daly is. But follow her on Twitter and even send a note saying thanking her for her stance, Christian conservative stance. We need more women like that. Judicial Watch, new Justice Records, Justice Department records show strong support by Mueller Deputy Andrew Weissman, other top DOJ officials for Yates' refusal to enforce President Trump travel ban. That Judicial Watch has been doing a lot of late. I don't know how many people follow Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, Chris Farrell, their investigative division. Just a tremendous organization. Exposing a lot of the rot, the corruption within the Department of Justice, within the FBI. Great supporters of Judicial Watch, but they've been doing a great job there. Also, just a couple of headlines. Judge Rory Moore, George Soros is going to hell. I don't know if that's a headline or just a kind of a foregone conclusion. Of course, who am I to say? The establishment rhino, Jeff Flake, writes check to pro-abortion, pro-amnesty, far-left Democrat Doug Jones. Planned Butcherhood supports anti-life Democrat Doug Jones. This against Judge Roy Moore. Jay Sekulow reports that Mueller subpoenaing Trump financial records from Deutsche Bank, are fake news. Kennedy's enforced homosexual cake case. State of Colorado has been neither tolerant nor respectful of Christian Baker's religious beliefs, and there's a war against Christians and a war against conservatives. So welcome to the program tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Joe, get down and dirty with some of these headlines. By the way, Joe, it's my understanding your show today, you had a technical glitch, it didn't go off at noon as you had planned.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Everything was set up properly.
Thank you, Eric. I don't have my headphones in, so I didn't know. Everything was, it got kind of screwed up. Everything was planned to go live at 12 o'clock. We created the episode and jumped on there, and I was talking with John through the BTR interface, and as soon as we went live airtime, that's when John's feed cut off. He couldn't hear or communicate to me. So we had to scrap the live show for today, but we went ahead and did our show as normal, and we're going to try it again tomorrow. Now,
all right.
With that said, to the news.
Oh, wait. I want to just mention something as well. My live feed was off a little bit, and it's been off for the last couple of weeks. I hope to rectify that by tomorrow. I'm not going to get into the particulars except to say, just hang with me. You can catch the archive. In other words, tune in, and if it doesn't show up on your live feed for 15, 20 minutes, just hang there. It'll show up. There's a delay, but I think I've got it rectified, so back on target. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so in the news, there's a lot going on with Robert Mueller today. It was reported earlier in the day that Robert Mueller was going to subpoena or had subpoenaed Trump's Deutsche Bank records, And that is being called into question now, as White House says no bank records have been subpoenaed. The story came out earlier today from Reuters and others, where officials close to the investigation said that they were going to get the bank records. But now Trump's lawyers and others are denying that the subpoena for the bank records even exists. So, and if it did, we talked about this earlier on the Kate Daly show, and on our shows separately, that, you know, isn't this well beyond the scope of what Robert Mueller was there to investigate? He is supposed to, I mean, he has a very direct mandate. He has an objective, but now, if he is going after these bank records, it is well outside of what he intentionally or initially has been looking for. And even the Wall Street Journal today has published an article about Mueller's credibility problem. Now, I have not read the article, but the Wall Street Journal, as well as the New York Times and Washington Post, have been some of the biggest cheerleaders of Robert Mueller and his investigations. So, it'll be interesting to see what this article says, but I believe it deals with the conflicts of interest that Mueller has being such close friends with the Clintons and with Comey, and who he has surrounded himself with. And did you see the cost of the investigation so far?
$7 million. I would have done it for six.
Plus $3.5 million. And there's an interesting story on the Washington Free Beacon that says Mueller spends in 4 months what Benghazi investigation cost in a 2-year time period. That should tell you a lot also about, you know, Robert Mueller. And between his credibility, the conflict of interest, and the money that's being wasted, and the lack of evidence or results, I think that, I mean, this needs to be shut down. This needed to be shut down a long time ago. This is a witch hunt.
Should never have started.
This is a organization gone rogue, full of corruption, and it needs to be stopped. It needs to be shut down immediately.
Well, look, why the absence of our Justice Department? Why the absence of Jeff Sessions? And I'm going to, again, repetition, I believe, is necessary in this case. The objective for Robert Mueller, his objective and sole objective, is to take down the president and the presidency of this country, create a constitutional crisis, and step in, have the globalists step in to pick up the pieces from a post-constitutional republic that he is going to create.
To what end, though? I mean, let's play this out. So Donald Trump gets indicted. And
he won't get. Okay, first of all, stop that language.
Taken out.
Okay,
you know, whatever.
Okay,
what they're going for here? Under no circumstances, and not under any circumstances, in a million years or a million different things could happen a million ways, will Hillary Clinton ever be president?
But it doesn't matter. This is a dose of payback, among other things. This is payback. Think of it that way. First of all, the globalists did not believe. They thought they had Hillary's coronation in the bag.
Right.
Do you agree with me on that?
Right. Yeah.
The media. So did the media. And by the way, a lot of masks came off of the so-called alternative or independent media, the Young Turks. I mean, for just off the top of my head, how they reacted. Not that they were ever not progressive, but that aside. And many bloggers too, which surprised me. If you go back in time and you look at some of the bloggers, some of the so-called independent Christian bloggers, boy, you talk about masks being ripped off of those the really two-faced, spineless, gutless bloggers. But having said that, push that aside for a moment. Here's what I believe the end game objective is. Mueller was tasked with, but before you know that, think of the intricacies, how this intricately played or was put together with Mueller or with Comey releasing that document and then of course being fired, but releasing the document to the media. And of course that created that necessity, I guess, of bringing Mueller as a special counsel. Of appointing Mueller as special counsel, and how Rosenstein was kind of exploited the situation and appointed Mueller as special counsel. But think about how all of these pieces fit together. But the ultimate objective here is to take down Donald Trump. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Hillary Clinton will never be the president. I don't know. Do you think she'll run in 2020? Do you think she'll run?
Oh, I hope so for whoever runs against her sake.
You think Biden will run?
No, he's too old.
Okay.
He's too old.
All right. Well, the bottom line, and I think this is where we're headed. We are headed, unless there's divine intervention, or unless Donald Trump is able to get the Department of Justice to do its job, we are headed for an impeachment, and of course, just completely the complete marginalization of our executive branch of government, and to the point where Donald Trump will not be able to do anything. Confidence, and the erosion of confidence by the American public, whether it is fake news, but that's the objective, I think, here. Now, failing that, I see a Kennedy-Dallas Dealey Plaza moment here. Failing that. I'm not wishing that. I pray against it, obviously. I can see, or some sort of, you know, effect like that. Concurrent with this, I also believe that there is going to be a culling of the media. I'm talking about the alternative media, the honest media. I think that Christians and conservatives are in the crosshairs, have been, and will continue to be. Especially if you have a situation where Donald Trump is impeached and discredited in the eyes of the world, or in the eyes of Americans, not the world. I mean, you see where his respect, he's very much respected across the world. But having said all of that, they want to bring us to the brink, I think, of both a civil war, a war inside this country, make us vulnerable to external influence as well. I believe that they have their eyes and crosshairs on Pence secondarily. If not both Donald Trump and Michael Pence, I think it's just Donald Trump, but the end result, I think, will be the constitutional crisis that will evolve, whether it be a combination of events or just a singular event, but the constitutional crisis that will evolve from this action.
Well, what do you see moving forward? I mean, what are they going to try to launch an obstruction charge against Trump? I mean, we all know that that's ludicrous, and
yeah,
there's clearly, you know, defined laws that define exactly what obstruction of justice is, and none of that is close to anything Trump has done. Even the Democrat Dershowitz has been all over the media, from Laura Ingraham to just about every news network and show, talking about how this is not obstruction of justice.
Okay.
I mean,
the question is, can they even bring obstruction charges against the sitting president?
Right.
Constitutionally. I don't know, but it will be an obstruction or some type of interference. Will it be related to the 2016 election? I don't think so. But perhaps somehow it can be manipulated to reflect that or to appear as such. But regardless, I think they're going to catch, or they're going to go after the low-hanging fruit, squeeze them, as we're seeing it happen right now, in order to get to Trump. Now, the only problem I see with this, and I spoke about this in the morning show, is you don't take your chief witness, or one of the chief witnesses being Michael Flynn, and charge him with lying.
Ruining his credibility.
Exactly. So what's going on there? But I also see a wider net for people like Jared Kushner and even Roger Stone, who I believe in and I like, and I say that, you know, he's getting an unfair raw deal in this, but I do believe that he was on the inside circles. But all of the people on the inner circle of Donald Trump's both campaign and administration, I think, are targets. To be honest, I don't know what the end result charges will be. I think we're in uncharted water here. To compare this to Watergate, for example, some say, well, Michael Flynn is Donald Trump's John Dean. Ah, no. There are other comparisons, but I think doing so, I think it's just is crazy. Bottom line, though, I do believe that the target is our constitutional republic, and we will be living in a post-constitutional republic. This is what the end game objective here is, the communist utopia. Of course, it doesn't exist, but that's the objective. And by the way, Peter Barry Chowka has written a tremendous article on Hagman Report. I'm going to get into that. I just want to throw that out there. We can get into that later. But
exclusive impeaching Nixon versus taking down Donald Trump is the article.
And folks, please read that. You've got to understand, I mean, Peter Barry Chowka has done a great job in that article. I strive to be able to write like him. Honest to goodness, do his research. He is so precise in his, I can't sing his praises enough, but go to HagmanReport.com, Peter Barry Chowka's latest, and send that to all your friends, family, and have them read it. It's just tremendous. But anyway, so yeah, the comparisons are not there in the larger sense, but Peter Barry Chowka can go into the particulars, in that article. Go ahead.
It's very interesting. On to some other news. It looks like tomorrow that Donald Trump is going to be naming Jerusalem the capital of Israel, which is big news, and some are opposed to this. Dianne Feinstein urges Trump not to move U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem despite voting to move the embassy to Jerusalem. But it is a very big deal, and when we get Stan Deo on, we're going to talk to him about this, because this is something that we've been talking about with him for a while. Since Trump took office, and is this a prophetic move? Is this it's obviously an historic move, and part of that is moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And many opponents say that this is hurting a chance of a two-state solution. But it looks like Trump is going to keep to his word. This is something that he promised on the campaign trail. Real quick.
Wait, before you move on to a different topic, I want to mention on InfoWars, in light of Robert Mueller's recent move against General Flynn, Alex Jones issues a warning to President Trump that he's the next target for deep state, for the deep state, and his removal would end with civil war. And I just saw this. In fact, it was just sent to me. I didn't see that earlier, but I just, when was that? Was that today that he published that? No, it's December 1st. So I don't know how I missed that, but that just kind of bolsters what I've been saying, as well as even Rush Limbaugh has been saying this, or somewhat close to what I'm saying. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, real quick. Last night, when I was monitoring the news, maybe about midnight, I started getting reports in of wildfires in California. And that there were about 1,000 acres, and within an hour, it spread to about 15,000 to 20,000 acres. Now we see on Drudge, the fires are still ongoing, but there's an interesting part of this. There are two fires, and one of them is in Ventura County, where it's now destroyed over 50,000 acres, and, 27,000 people have had to flee. But there is a separate fire in Los Angeles County is actually closing down the I-5, which is one of the more populated areas of Southern California. So keep your eye on that, as it's only 5% contained. And this is what's strange about these wildfires is they are around very populated areas. And every year California burns. Over 1 million acres have burned this year. But these latest two fires are very close to very dense populated areas. This news just came across our desks a few moments ago. There has been a plot unfoiled that was an Islamic extremist attempt to kill the UK Prime Minister Theresa May. And this apparently was an investigation that's been ongoing for weeks. Islamist suicide plot to assassinate Prime Minister Theresa May thwarted. Sky News crime correspondent confirmed it's the latest in a number of terror plots that police and MI5 believe they've foiled just this year. And what they said, it is in essence an extremist Islamist suicide plot against Downing Street. And what they plan to do is launch a few explosives to distract people, ensuing chaos, and then attacking Theresa May in the chaos. So the investigators say this is something that has involved multiple people, and two men have been arrested. They're still looking for others, and they have been charged with preparing acts of terrorism, and obviously both are Arab. and they will be arraigned on Wednesday morning. But this is, I find this ironic, as Theresa May has turned into one of the bigger defenders of extreme Islam over in the UK. Now we see a plot's been foiled, targeting her directly.
And we're going to be seeing more and more of this. Look, there's no appeasement for Islamic terrorism. There's no appeasement to Muslims. There's no answer to this unfettered alien immigration except to deport them all. I mean, I mean that, deport them all and cut off the immigration flow.
She's gone out of her way, you know, to not to even talk down to the people who call terrorist attacks Islamic terrorist attacks. She's been over backwards trying to placate to Islam, yet what happens? They still target her for death.
Well, you've got these snowflakes out there, these people, and I wonder, and I'm going to toss this out to our listeners and viewers, what is wrong with these people that don't understand the civilization jihad that's taking place? When you talk with people, this is not about a country opening its borders for those in need or to the betterment of the country. This is about a forced invasion. I don't know how else to put it, but the forced invasion of whether it's the UK or the European Union in total, or countries individually, or the United States. This is a civilization jihad. This is war by demographics, or more appropriately, murder by the numbers, or murder by demographics. This is the greatest. This is one of the best ways to destroy a country: borders, culture, and language. As Michael Savage points out.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And so look, I think all of this, all of these issues tie together, and I want people really to, and I talked about this on my morning show. If we look at everything with a kind of a broader lens, and Bill Federer talked about this as well on our evening show last night, on the Hagman Report last night, you kind of had to zoom out a little bit so you're not ambushed by the pixels, or you can see well beyond the pixels. Zoom out a little bit, see the whole picture, and then drill down on each specific topic. So I think all of the things that we're talking about today are related. They're objectives of the globalist agenda. And the globalists are nothing more than the communists. And the communists right now have the bedfellows with the Muslims. So you've got the communists, the red-green axis, being used by the globalists to bring in, to change the dynamics of all Western civilization, including but not limited to the United States of America. And that's what's taking place. But the U.S. is on, we are on the chopping block, much like the U.K. is, and we've got a lot of people that listen in the U.K. and a lot of people listen in Europe. Hello, Karen in Rome, by the way.
Yeah, we do have a lot of people listen in the U.K. Even the metrics on The Daily Show, I think, 8 to 10% of the listeners are from the UK, which is pretty surprising.
And South Africa too. Yeah. Hi to South Africa. Thanks for listening. Australia, New Zealand, you name the country. But thank you for listening and thank you for tuning in. But see, we're all in the same boat. If you live in a free country, in a westernized country, we're all in the same boat. And Donald Trump has proven to me more, I believe, of late, that he is on the side of the people. He is an outsider. Now, I think he is getting bad advice from his attorneys. I think he's being isolated by his staff.
Somebody, yeah.
Okay, absolutely. And I think that the deep state operatives have infiltrated his inner camp. So, we have to, watching though. He's listening to others, but go ahead.
I wish he would, you know, like we've seen presidents in past times do, you know, call a press conference, get everybody in the Oval Office. We interrupt this, you know, your regular scheduled programming to bring you a word from the president. And for the president to get on TV and explain to his supporters and the American people exactly what it is that's going on. You know, why is he and his administration seem to be on the defensive, not becoming more offensive? Why is he not publicly calling out the FBI for the political tool that it has become? Why is he not reaching out? Why is he not speaking out more to his base, letting him know that at least that he understands what is going on around him? that is yet to be seen, and I don't expect him to do it. He would probably get, you know, as you said, the inner circle will probably sway him against it. For all we know, he's tried to do something like that, and they have, you know, shut him down. But what kind of, how effective of a leader can he be if he is being obstructed inside of his own inner circle? And I do believe that is happening to a great degree.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things I think that we have to pray that there, and do what we can to, in fact, I believe that he does read as much as he can via Twitter. He does tweet, and I think he reads some of the responses. Well, in fact, I know that because, Peter Chaka was retweeted by President, or, yeah, Peter Chaka was retweeted by President Trump. How many people can say that? Chaka for that. And congratulations, Peter, for, your relationship, dynamic relationship with Sean Hannity, who I believe is a great truth teller in the corporate media as it exists today. But I think that it's our job to do what we can to get his attention and to, even though as crazy as that sounds, the more people who are active and proactive in the information war, I think the better. So let's keep going with that. I think we're at a crossroads right now, but I think we can win. I think we can win if we show up. We can win on the numbers because we have, think about this, the conservatives in this country. And I'm talking about the true patriotic Second Amendment loving, Bible loving, or Second American supporting, Bible loving Christian conservatives. We outnumber the snowflake liberal progressive communist mindset mind-numbed individuals. We can win on the numbers.
We are up against the break. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, December 5th. Mueller deputy praised Department of Justice official after she defied Trump travel ban order. I am so proud. That's right. You know, I want to correct my pronunciation. I had mentioned during the show last night, I had called Peter Strzok. Apparently the Z is silent. His last name is Strzok. I pronounced it Sturzok, but apparently the Z is silent. Who knew?
Strzok, right.
Yeah. And, but nonetheless, just an incredible tale of recklessness, yeah, where you've got a partisan FBI agent in our partisan bureaucracy. Now this is, this was featured at National Review, and I cite National Review not because I like National Review. Notice that National Review was against Donald Trump and fully in the Never Trump camp. But by citing certain people does not mean that I endorse the publication. But having said all of that, I think what we're seeing is a very calculated exposure to the rot that's inside of the Department of Justice and FBI. Now, the problem with this, it's not Donald Trump doing it, which he needs to do. The question, is he causing it to be done? I don't think so. However, I do know, look at Judicial Watch, look at Tom Fitton, what they're doing. Look at what Sean Hannity is doing. I know for a fact, and trust me when I say this, I know for a fact that there are direct lines of communication between some of the very people I speak to on a daily basis and Joe on a daily basis to President Donald Trump. You can take that to the bank. That is absolutely 100% true. Now, is there an admission? Can there be an admission? Of course not. Why do I even bring this up? Mm-hmm. I bring this up.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. I can, you know, I'm his father. I can still put you over my knee. Remember when you were little. Yeah, but no, why do I bring this up? I bring this up because I think for the first time in modern history, in fact, the first time in probably 100 years or longer, we have had a president who is actually from a different circle, from the business world, from the real world, not from the insulated bubble of Washington politics, not from a position of governor or senator or side of politics. And his circle of who he listens to is much broader. And I think the channels that he has are not much different than the Washington channels. Now, here's another thing that I had seen something in our YouTube chat where that we are dead wrong on certain issues and we should listen to various podcasters and various bloggers. Okay, you don't think we do? You don't think we're in contact with certain people? You don't think that we're in contact with people we've had on this program? I happen to see the chat go by mentioning Tracy Beans, for example. We've had her on the program. We've spoken to her. We follow what she says. We follow what other bloggers, what independent journalists say. We listen to everyone from, we'll say, Tracy Beans to Hannity or to Tucker Carlson or to Judge Napolitano or to Greg Jarrett. From George Webb, we monitor to the corporate media, members of the corporate media. I guess what we're saying is we don't, our analysis of information is not dependent upon any one specific person, but it's a conglomeration of sources. But we also have direct lines, as I mentioned earlier, to people who are knowledgeable about what's going on inside the Beltway. And I think that that's what people, I think we're underestimated. I think people do underestimate us in that respect. But that's okay. It's better to be underestimated than to be overestimated, in my view. I want people, I would much rather to be a Columbo-esque kind of detective than a Magnum PI kind of detective, if you know what I mean, using the television portrayal of fictional characters. I'd much rather have somebody never, I'd much rather be underestimated than or have them see me coming, if that makes sense. But let's move on.
Back to what you just mentioned about the...
Sorry,
man. I gotta teach him
because you know I've been coughing, so I've been trying to keep it muted, and then to listening to you talk, I didn't remember to turn it back on.
But what you said about Robert Mueller, the Mueller investigation, and the people in the FBI, there was an interesting article on the Daily Caller today that highlights top Clinton aides face no charges after making false statements to the FBI, and this goes back to Houman Abedin and Cheryl Mills. And what's interesting about this article is on the Daily Caller is that they have the actual documents. They have the claims. They have the 302 forms that were taken, again, by the Strzok, the guy who had to be removed due to his anti-Trump tweets. He was the one who conducted the interview of Clinton herself on July 2nd, 2016, as well as with Cheryl Mills and Houman Abedin. Those 302 interview statement summaries of interviews were released by the FBI, and they showed that Mills and Abedin both stated during the interviews with the FBI they were not aware of the server until after she left the State Department. But documents that were internal emails amongst each other show well way back into 2010 that Cheryl Mills and in 2012, Houman Abedin stated in the emails that they knew about the private server. So right here alone is proof enough that yeah. Mills and Abedin both lied to the FBI, the same crime which General Flynn is and has been pled guilty to.
Oh,
and this shows the bias.
Did you hear Donald Trump talk about that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, his statement yesterday, as he was getting on the helicopter, and you know his hair is flying up, and it was great. He said, well, he was referencing Hillary Clinton, but you might as well put Houman Abedin and Cheryl Mills in the same camp. But he said they ruined Flynn but they let Clinton go. And I would put...
Oh, yeah, maybe I did see that.
I would
night.
Put Mills and Samuelson and Huma and all of that in the same bag of people, by the way. And one thing, by the way.
Well,
I just want to say this before, because in case this person does not listen to the rest of the program. When I mentioned that comment in the chat I happen to see, I want to be very respectful of that commenter. Believe me, I respect you. That was not meant to be disrespectful in my response. I was trying to be, sometimes my wife says, you know, you got a really sharp tone about you. And, God bless her, because I use that sharp tone. I don't mean to. It's just kind of an edginess to me. And I respect what that commenter said. I just want to make sure that she knows that, or he knows that, whoever wrote that knows that. It wasn't meant to be disrespectful. I just wanted to make sure that people know that we listen and we analyze everyone's, or as many people as we can, their view. Interrupt. Continue forward with.
Well, what I wanted to say just in closing about this struck his conduct, as he gave a free pass to Mills and Abedin and has charged Flynn and obviously protected Hillary Clinton. He was the one that changed the language of Comey's letter, saying changing it from gross negligence to whatever the
extremely carelessness,
yeah. Where gross negligence is a crime and extremely careless is not. But what's interesting about this, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, will be testifying on Thursday when he attends an oversight hearing at the House Judiciary Committee specifically about this FBI agent's actions. So I don't know what will come of that, but this obviously, you have the proof, you have the evidence that shows the complete bias of the FBI and some of the personnel inside the FBI protecting their friends and allies, that being the Clinton administration, while targeting and going after Trump and his associates with General Flynn. Now, we have a few things. I guess we can't play this video I wanted to play because it would bring some copyright issues due to the song that is played in the background. And that song is It's the End of the World, as we know.
And by the way, even when we have the copyright,
we still get dinged
for copyright. We purchase the copyright rights, and they still ding us for copyright violations.
Well, there's an interesting video, and you can just search the title out on YouTube. Democrats flip out over Armageddon GOP tax reform bill. I put a little article together on Hagman Report late last night detailing the interview or press conference that Nancy Pelosi had when she was talking about this tax plan. But this video is a compilation from Maxine Waters to Charles Schumer to Nancy Pelosi, all crying about the tax bill. And the article talks about how Democrats have taken dramatic tax reform using apocalyptic language about the impact that they think the legislation will have. I'm just going to detail some of these lawmakers and how they classified this tax bill. Nancy Pelosi said it's Armageddon. It would be the end of the world. Pelosi also called the legislation the worst bill in the history of the United States. Former Obama official Lawrence Summers wrote, "Thousands of people are going to die." Chuck Schumer said the bill passed under the cover of darkness and is one of the worst pieces of legislation. Elizabeth Warren said it was horrible and cruel. Mark Warren says this is the single worst day in U.S. Senate history. Bernie Sanders said it was one of the greatest robberies in modern history. Andrew Cuomo said that this is a death penalty, and also that this is legislative rape and pillage. Maxine Waters said it was a tax scam, and on and on and on. One of the legislators called this a legislative rape.
There you go.
I find it so funny. These people in there, they passed the Obamacare bill. You couldn't find out what was in the bill till it passed, and it changed the whole healthcare system and one-fifth of the economy. But these people are speaking out against a tax break on corporations and some Americans, and they're saying thousands of people will die, and it's the end of the world. Pretty humorous, as always. And we know that any and everything Trump does receives negative press, and that's just the way it is. But even donating his paycheck to different charities, he gets dragged through the mud in the press for doing so. And he just freed up some federal land out west and he is being taken to task again. Network's hyper-liberal backlash against Trump freeing up federal land. On Tuesday, all three network morning shows touted the immediate backlash against Trump's decision to reduce the size of two national monuments in Utah. And this is one of the things that was said on one of the shows. Turning now to the growing battle over the Trump administration's plans to reduce the size of two national monuments in Utah, the move sparked immediate backlash from the West all the way to Washington. And they said that this is the president is stepping into the middle of the Western land battle, dramatically scaling back the size of the two monuments. They said that this is controversial, and conservation groups are forming a joint legal challenge against the administration. Is there anything they don't sue this president over? But anyways, they went on to make a case that because he made these public lands private, that companies are going to come in and drain the resources and frack the land and whatnot. And they basically call it an environmental assault.
Remember what I told you when Obama set up his digs on Embassy Road there. He created an organization that did that sole purpose was to sue, create the litigation against this administration for ethics violations or for whatever process.
Yeah, they were
setting
that up before the election actually happened.
Well, not before the election specifically. Well, organizing for action was.
But the DNC, the Podesta, and Hillary, they were planning these Russian narrative, just in the slight chance that Trump won, they were planning some of these stories and problems.
I'll give you that, yeah.
In order to
yeah.
bring them up if he did win, to cause doubt about his presidency.
Right. But, and remember how Hillary said that any questioning of the election results, which is taking place right now, would be an assault on our democracy, which of course an improper use, would be a threat to our liberty and to our country. And of course, this is exactly what she's doing right now. And I find it very interesting as well. Have you seen some images? And these are things that we like to keep our eyes on. We can't vet any of this, but, we watch things like, she was in Philadelphia, I think, on a book signing, or she was in Philadelphia, Hillary Clinton was, and there was a picture of her, I think it was her right leg, or was it, I think it was her right leg.
Getting helped out of the car?
No, this is, well, it might have been the same time, but there was a picture of her right leg, and it looked like maybe there was a brace of some kind.
Oh, yeah,
her leg.
Boot.
Was it a boot? Well, no, this is not a boot, but under her pant leg, it looked like there was some sort of device there. And there's just rampant speculation as to what that is. But now, on the other hand, we also see so many rumors that are just kind of ridiculous at its face, where, you know, Podesta's in prison. There are indictments against Hillary. You can't vet those, certainly. But Podesta in prison. Hmm. And also we've yes to answer many questions too. We've gotten via email. Yes, we followed the QAnon postings. We've been following that. The reason we don't talk much about that is we surveil that, we monitor that, but we don't talk much about it because. Really, at this point, what can you say? And for those people who don't know what we're talking about, the QAnon on 4chan, if you know what we're talking about, understand we've been following that. We've been assembling all of the posts, of course, and looking at the historical context. Now, the thing is, it's difficult to trace it back to any one source, and there's a lot of speculation about who this QAnon is and who this Q is, and what the messages are in the relationship perhaps to Donald Trump. Yeah, so I thought I'd throw that out there as well. We're going to see another thing. Google has enlisted an army to police YouTube videos. That's
in
already
comments.
Taking place. That's
yeah.
right, in 10, comments
10,000 plus.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're
going
to go delete and remove what they deem to be hateful and or racist content that is in the videos or in the comments sections themselves. And just continuation of social media censorship, what we see in Europe and Canada is that people who are making comments that are deemed to be inappropriate online are actually being found out by police and charged either with summary offenses like fines or in some cases with hate speech laws. And how long until they try to enact those on the books here in America. There's an interesting video on the Washington Free Beacon that details the Columbia students' protest of free speech. And if you watch the video, these people will talk about how free speech is offensive and oppressive to the minorities and whatever. But it's just very eye-opening and tells you that it might not be long before we see those kind of hate speech laws on the books here in America with that kind of mentality we have festering in the universities. Yeah. But I want to make sure we hit this story before we hit the end of the hour. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments on the gay wedding cake, and it has been said that Judge Kennedy may be the... And this headline from the Washington Examiner: in Supreme Court gay wedding cake case, Kennedy says state has not been tolerant of Baker's religious views. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy said during oral arguments today that Colorado did not appear to show religious tolerance when it used its public accommodations law to force Baker Jack Phillips to create speech via a custom cake for a same-sex wedding that defies his religious belief.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Let me jump in here. If I was a baker, and I'm deadly serious about this, if I was a baker and I owned a business and somebody came in and said, I want you to bake a cake for a husband and husband or a wife and a wife, I would shut down my business before I acquiesced or folded in front or on behalf of the litigators or the people coming in to demand that I bake this cake. I would burn down my business before I did that. I would
just overcharge and do a terrible job.
No, I would not. I'm going to tell you right now, because, and this is part of the problem.
My business.
This is part of the problem. I think Americans today have gotten too soft. We've become too tolerant of the perverted, of the perverse. Of this, well, it's not politically correct. We've got to conform. Baloney. We don't have to conform. I don't have to bake you a cake.
Right. Well, don't let
I'll shut down my flipping business before I would allow before I was made to bake you a cake.
Well, I wouldn't shut down the business. I'd make them take the business away from me through not complying with them. I would not let them win by shutting down and packing up. And
okay. Well, I guess if I was ever backed into that corner, I guess we're talking extreme measures here.
Not really extreme because it's happening across in different industries in the country.
And that's the same thing. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to fold under the pressure of these morons who believe, in my view, that they've got this right to make me do what I don't want to do, or what my religious convictions say no.
Right.
So I am, you know what? I am not going to be tolerant. I am intolerant. I'm intolerant of the perverse. I'm intolerant of the idiocy that is encapsulated by these morons out there, these mental midgets who are just nothing but they're spiritually bankrupt and they're mentally bankrupt, I believe. But you're not going to make me bake a cake any more than you're going to make me do anything I don't want to do or that's against my religious beliefs. So I think Americans have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. Because behind this one request is a huge agenda. And I think people have to realize that this is not about cake. It's never about the spoon. This is not about the cake.
Mm-hmm.
This is about a bigger agenda here at play. And we have to tamp this out before it gets any bigger. It's my view.
Yeah. So what's this going to, how is the court going to decide this case? We heard a number of different opinions and oral arguments from Kennedy pointing out that Colorado was not tolerant of the Baker's religious views and says tolerance is essentially in a free society and tolerance is most meaningful when it's mutual. Kennedy said, it seems to me that the state in its position here has been neither tolerant nor respectful of Mr. Phillips' religious beliefs. Justice Alito and Gorsuch similarly expressed concerns about the bias of Colorado's actions against Phillips. Though Kennedy's commentary boded well for the Baker, the justice also asked whether a Phillips victory meant bakers could begin hanging signs in windows saying they would not bake cakes for gay weddings. So we have
why isn't this a Muslim bakery? Why don't they try this with the Islamic papers?
Where people have gone in and just to test the waters with video cameras.
And
they would not bake the cakes.
Okay, so has the Department of Justice enacted any kind of civil litigation? Or what about the people, the potential customers?
And where does this stop? I mean, as we've seen in the past, will same-sex couples be able to force churches to marry them through litigation of discrimination? There has to be lines drawn here. As you said, this is much more than just...
It's never about the cake.
It's not about the cake, not at all. It is about, freedom of belief and expression. And this is a very important case that's going to be coming down to a decision pretty soon. But
Coach Dobmeier told you this, and the people we've had on told you this. This is not... Greg Jackson, with the Obergefell decision... Which is really not the law of the land. Homosexuality is not the law of the land, contrary to what you believe, nor is abortion, the murder of unborn children. That is, the Supreme Court does not make law. And I understand how ludicrous that sounds, or you think that sounds coming out of my mouth, but there's a long history which we don't have time to get into. But the bottom line is this, we have to stand up and we have to fight against this perversion. And if we don't, who will? And shamefully, prayer went out of school. No one really stood up. The myth of separation of church and state. Again, the myth. And if you think that I'm off base on that, you've got to study history and study the documents of our founding fathers. All of this combined. We are living in an alternate reality here that I think that people, if everyone understood the intent and the framework of our Constitution and how this country was built, we would see how far astray we've been led. And the media, of course, big proponents of this, the Right Wing Watch websites, the Snopes websites, they all, in my view, are purveyors of misinformation, disinformation. They're all purveyors of this perversity, purveyors of perversity, in my view. And these little snowflake writers who sit behind the keyboard and scratch out these columns that poke fun at people like Coach Dave Dobmeier, and are so accepting of, oh, the perversity. Oh, it's just normal. No, it's not normal. What's wrong with you? Homosexual marriage is not normal. You say you believe in science. Well, show me scientifically where, with very rare exceptions, and even those are questionable, where homosexuality among species is normal. It's not normal. And I can go on and on. Certainly, this is leading to bestiality. This is leading to all the perversities that, mm-hmm. that you can.
Reading these arguments here,
it's crazy.
It does extend, to a whole number of other issues, freedom of expression to, as what I just said about, forcing churches to marry homosexual couples, other, like the Catholic League services the Catholic League services would be put into the choice of either not providing any pro bono legal services or providing those in connection with same-sex marriages. Meaning if they provide, legal services pro bono to one person or one cause, would they be forced then to take on causes that they don't morally or religiously agree with?
Hmm.
And it's going across the board, as you said, not just from cakes, but it is a very big and important case. And it seems that the majority is leaning right or with the baker, that it is a violation to force him to do something against his will, operating a business. And one of the justices equated it to going into a restaurant and demanding custom food that's not on the menu, and forcing restaurants to acquiesce to that. So
they're not after, this is not about civil rights. This is about special rights that don't exist.
Right, right. But it's interesting to read these arguments and the different opinions. Another story that's important, John Conyers, the congressman who is full of sexual misconduct and assault scandals, is going to retire. And his replacement... We'll be right back. Sorry about that.